Hello, everyone. My name is Minister Darren Woods, and I would like to welcome everyone today to the Captured Podcast. All right. I was looking for another avenue, another means to be able to spread the gospel. And I figure what better medium to use than a podcast. I'll be able to reach so many folk that I wouldn't be able to reach in, personally on my own. Whereas I know that with a podcast, I can reach so many others. It's available to so many other people. So here we are. So basically, my background, I'm from a small town, Gray, Louisiana. And yes, I'm a country boy from Louisiana. Grew up in the church, vice versa. And when I got a certain age, I decided that I didn't want to play church. I'd seen so many different things, right? I had my own excuses just like everybody else. And I decided that I wasn't going to play around with the things of God. If I was going to immerse myself in the things of God, I wanted to make sure that I was ready and that I was serious about it. So years passed, went to college, ran hard after sin, did so many different things. And God saved me and delivered me, kept me from so many different things, as I'm really not supposed to be alive based on some of the life experiences that I faced. But eventually I found my way back to God. It took me having two little boys. My first and my oldest son came. The light kind of turned on, but there was not a sense of urgency at the time. So that sense of urgency, actually came when my second son was born. So now it's like, okay, you entertained the thought, but now we got to actually put some feet on this thing. We've been entertaining the notion. So that caused me to turn back to God because I knew I needed help. I knew I needed some direction. At the time, I thought I knew what I wanted to do, right? College was part of that. Get an education, get a degree, right, to provide and take care of, to land a job where I can provide and take care of my family. And this was around 1998. My son was born November 6th. So from that point, we were introduced to a ministry in New Orleans, started attending that ministry, and I never looked back. Now, the road wasn't perfect, of course. It was a lot I had to learn. It was a lot of religious things that I picked up along the way. However, as you begin to dig into the Word of God, this was a Word church, so we definitely learned a lot of about the Word of God, but eventually, God led me on a journey where He would lead me to different studies while I would study the Word of God for myself, because I wanted to make sure that I knew what was in the book, right? The Word of God is inexhaustible. However, when you get into it and start to immerse yourself into it, you start to learn a lot of things about yourself, a lot of things about some of the stuff that you were taught in the church. So right off the bat, I began to correct a lot of that, through my own personal studies. Again, wasn't perfect. still growing, but I think in that, I learned a lot about the, you know, developing and having a genuine fear of God and respect for God. And those things, you know, that began to drive me, because if I was going to represent him, you know, I know I had to carry myself a certain way. And again, not never a perfect picture, but of course, as you learn, as you grow, you get better. All right, you become more and more in tune and tapped into the Holy Spirit. So fast forward, you know, my wife and I, we've been part of several different ministries, and I've learned a lot from each ministry that we've been a part of. Okay. Eventually, we moved into the Dallas area. That's where I currently reside. And we were part of a local ministry. And, you know, again, we learned some new things concerning ministry, and seeing it from a perspective of, you know, a church that is doing very well, right? A church that was doing a lot of things well, you know, very well to do, exposure to all types of folk, from professional football players to doctors and lawyers, and just, you know, just another class of individuals. And it was a mixture, right? But the mindset of this ministry, you know, it was corporate minded. So as far as leadership, oh man, I mean, they really had a great foundation in that regard. And they did it well. I would say that they represented, especially us as a people, in doing ministry on that level. It amazed me, because it was something that I hadn't seen before, right? I've experienced it to some degree, but not on this level. Okay. And again, while it wasn't perfect, because of course you're dealing with people, right? And none of us are perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And we all play our part. But I think if we are grounded in the fact that we are led to certain ministries that we might be able to glorify God, and that the relationship is with God, right? Not that we don't have a relationship with the members and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, which of course, that's important. But we realize who our Lord is, and, you know, understanding that and looking to him rather than, you know, people or the pastor or, you know, that goes a long way. Because unfortunately, you know, man, you know, as humans, we're prone to let one another down. We're prone to disappoint because we're not perfect. We make bad decisions. You know, we hurt people, right? And while we should do everything we can to reconcile, sometimes that is done in a healthy way and sometimes it's not. Okay, but at the end of the day, I think what helps is having a strong relationship with God and understanding that, you know, everything that we're doing, we're not doing it for someone else or for the pastor or for, you know, friends or family that might be attending that ministry. Because at the end of the day, if we're called to be there and they choose to leave, right, if God has called you to be there, then you know and understand that this is where he's placed you for that season. And that we're not just there because of people, okay? We were there because of God and what we felt God was calling us to do, you know, in that season. So fast forward, you know, I find myself helping out some friends that we serve with at this ministry who, you know, chose to go out and start their own thing. And, you know, I decided eventually to go along with them and help them in those efforts. And I began serving there. Eventually, I was ordained as a minister April 2022. And here I am. So now, again, I'm just feeling that God is leading me to share, you know, the word of God in another capacity based on what he has revealed to me. And it's that season to, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes you entertain notions and ideas and things, right? But there comes a point to where you have to put, you know, feet to that thing, you know, action behind it. You got to move forward with it. And that's where I find myself today. So that's my introduction, y'all. So that's a little bit of my story. I wanted to be personable so you can get to know the person first. And at least, you know, know a little bit about me and my background. And that way, you know, you can kind of put the pieces together and form your own, you know, opinions and vice versa, and use those to understand where I'm coming from in regards to any content that I will create for this podcast. But thank you for listening. And that's my introduction. So we're going to get into the message for today. And basically, right now, you know, it's just, I think we can all attest to the fact that time seems to be moving pretty rapidly right now. Our days are flying, y'all. And I'm not sure if I'm the only one, but the days and the weeks and the months and the years are just flying by, right? And it's amazing to me because you start off, right, like tomorrow's Sunday, and before you know it, it's going to be Wednesday, and it's back Sunday again. You know, time is moving at an incredible rate of speed right now. And I think scientifically, they've even said that there's been evidence that, you know, kind of speaks to the fact that time has sped up. Now, of course, we know that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen. And he will return one day. However, for us as believers, our focus is to be found, you know, being about the Father's business, doing what God has purposed us to do in this earth, right? And whether we accomplish, you know, the totality of that, I don't think that that really matters. I think as long as we're moving forward with it, and of course, there's going to be some things that we're going to complete. There's going to be some things that we may leave for the next generation to move forward with. But I think moving forward, period, is a great achievement, especially once God reveals to you, you know, his purpose for you. And I just want to be able to help as many as I can to find God's purpose for their lives. So that's encouragement. That's the encouragement that I want to leave. First and foremost, that, you know, foremost, that message that if you don't know what God's purpose is for you, you know, it was, and, you know, we only need to ask. You know, the scripture says that we have not because we ask not. And if we do ask, we ask amiss. So, I mean, who knows our purpose better than the Creator himself, right? The person, the very person who created you. Why would we go to someone else, especially if you have access to him, if you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You have the audience, you have the access you need, and you only need to ask. All right, and we know that God will direct us, God will lead us if we're creating opportunities for him to do that. Because, you know, I think we can all attest to the fact that sometimes we try to lead ourselves when we don't know or when we're uncertain and unsure about things. And sometimes in the busyness, we forget to check in with God. And we just kind of run with things because we've adopted this pace that the world has set to keep us busy, right? Whether it's with our children, and a lot of it is justifiable, right? We have our jobs, we've got to provide and bring in income that we might take care of the financial responsibilities of raising our families, right? And taking care of our households. So I get it. However, we shouldn't allow those things to consume us. But back to what I was saying, you know, we know that Christ is coming back. And at the end of the day, it is up to us to discover and look to him to get direction concerning our purpose. And we will only discover what that purpose is through him. So I do have a scripture, and I'll be coming from, I think it was Romans, if I'm not mistaken. So it is Romans chapter 13, verse 12. And it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Okay, and that is the King James Version. So, of course, you know, the night is far spent, y'all. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ can come any moment now. And the expectation is that we be fully prepared for his coming, right? We know about, at least for those, you know, who have been in the Word of God for some time, we know about the 10 virgins, right? There were 5 virgins, right? 5 wise virgins. 5 unwise virgins. There were 10 virgins all together, right? And we know that in that particular passage of scripture, it spoke about the bridegroom coming, which was Christ. And they all had their lamps, but only 5, the 5 wise virgins, had their lamps trimmed, while the others, they weren't ready when the bridegroom came. So at one point they asked their fellow, you know, the other virgins who were prepared, you know, to borrow some of their oil. And of course,
if you play piano and you have trouble coordinating
the virgins, they told them, "Hey, I mean, we only have enough oil for ourselves." Pretty much saying that you should have been ready, you should have been prepared, but you were not. And unfortunately, you know, I think eventually they went to try to go and make preparation for the bridegroom, but when they came back, the door was shut and they couldn't get in. And therefore they weren't able to go with the bridegroom, which of course in that particular scripture we know they're talking about Christ. And that's, and I'm coming from Matthew's chapter 25, y'all. So in this day and time, we definitely want to find ourselves like the 5 wise virgins. We want to be prepared. We want to be ready. You know, should Christ return while we are alive and well, we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. And unless, you know, we You know, we actually, you know, leave this life, we die, right, and shed this veil of skin and go to rest in Abraham's bosom, right? You know, if we happen to die before Christ, you know, physically die before Christ comes, and we know that, of course, eventually, you know, we'll be raptured up eventually, but for those who are alive or well, they will be caught up, okay? You know, the dead in Christ will rise first, right? For those who have passed, we will go up, and then for those who are alive and well, they will be caught up afterwards. However, only those who are prepared and ready will be raptured and leave with Christ. And those who aren't, well, of course, you know, the book of Revelation speaks about, you know, the tribulation time, and the wrath of God will be poured out against all those who did not accept Christ as Lord and Savior and endure and overcome. So, again, in Romans 12, you know, I love that it says that the night is far spent and the day is at hand, because that day can be any moment now. Now, I would like to also share, because in this this climate that we're in right now, you know, everybody is waiting on this election to see how all of this is going to play out. You know, at this time, we kind of see that it's very possible that Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be our next president. While, you know, we don't know that for certain, you know, President Trump is still in the running. And at the end of the day, God is going to determine who is going to be who, who's going to make it, who won't make it. Amen. So, I mean, regardless, this next presidential administration, I think we're going to see a shift. You know, either way, if President Trump wins, we're going to see a shift. If Vice President Kamala Harris wins, we're going to see a shift, and it's all going to look different. All right. Or whether it's Republican, of course, you know, the focus is going to be, you know, money, taking care of the rich, vice versa. And for the Democrats, right, they're going to probably tax us through the nose, and they're going to make more opportunity, create more opportunities for the LGBTQ community. So we have, you know, it's like the two different evils, right? However, we know that our trust is in God and not in, you know, our current government, because our government is going to do what it's going to do, right? We know that there are principalities involved here that are very active and wielding and directing all of the leadership of each of the countries around the world, and they have an agenda, okay? And that's going to get closer and closer to the Antichrist agenda, right? The one world order, where you condition the people and prepare them for the mark of the beast. Because if you know anything about scripture, and it talks about the mark of the beast, right? That everyone will get a mark. And during that time, you won't be able to buy or sell or do anything for that matter if you don't have that mark. So right now, you know, there's still conditioning going on, right? With AI technology and all of that, right? That's going to start to eliminate a lot of jobs. People are going to start losing their jobs and have to find another means. And, you know, they were going to have to probably seek employment in industries that they're not used to. All right. The shift might be could possibly be more to a more labor intensive type of, you know, job options out there. So that's kind of, you know, my personal, you know, opinion of where this thing is gonna head, you know, because at the end of the day, the Bible has to be, the prophecy has to be fulfilled, right? The Antichrist comes in, he deceives the world, right? Except those believers who have, you know, sold out for God, you know, and they're not going to be swayed by money or power or influence, right? And we know that there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be some folk who are going to choose not to be swayed by those things, but there are going to be many that will, right? Broad is the road to destruction, and that, you know, and many shall find it, is what the scripture says, right? But narrow is the way, and only a few shall find it. But today I wanted to kind of, wanted to share something. There was something that caught my eye on an article in Christianity Today, and it spoke of a German pastor in Germany, who had to pay. He was sued for some statements he made that they considered to be anti-LGBTQ, right? So he made some statements about homosexuality, and he was sued and he was called into court about it. From what I read, he had to pay like 5,000 euros. All right, he was fined 5,000 euros, which is 5,550 US dollars. Okay. And he made a statement again about homosexuality. And it was at a, if I'm not mistaken, it was at a marriage event, something like that. He said, at a marriage seminar in 2019. And the statement that he made, you know, he's called homosexuality degenerative and demonic. Okay. All right. And this is, you know, this is this gentleman's opinion, right? And he should be free to share it. And, you know, if he's a pastor, of course, he's coming from how God feels about homosexuality. And we know what God says about homosexuality. Right? It's a lot to be said. You know, you can go to Romans chapter 1. You can go to Revelations where it says, lists all of these things and all of these people who will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Homosexuality was one. And not just homosexuality, you know, murderers, right? Sexually immoral. You know, it wasn't just homosexuality. It was a whole host of other sins. Liars, you name it, all right? Won't make it into the kingdom of heaven. But, and of course, we know about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we know about the book of Judges. We know all of the different examples that we've seen, how God, what God has said and done in regards to homosexuality. All right. So, this is just one example. Right now, I'm not sure who targeted this pastor, but either way, he was charged and hauled into a district court, and he was ordered to pay that fine as a result of his statements. And that's the time we're entering. And the thing about it, and I always say this, is it hasn't gotten bad yet, right? It's going to get worse. And as believers, we should be getting prepared. We're going to be persecuted, right? We're going to face a lot, right? And that's part of that, you know, identifying totally with Christ. Christ said that, you know, No student is above the teacher, right? No servant is above the master, right? Because just as he was suffered, and you know, and I'm coming from, you know, John, where he was telling the disciples that the world hates us because they hate him, right? And that we will suffer just as he suffered persecution, being wrongfully accused. You know, they came at him because of the gospel, because of who he was, who he represented, the life he was living, right? His life alone, right? It made so-called religious believers ashamed of the life that they were living, because they know that they weren't living by that standard, right? The Pharisees, we know that the Pharisees were trying to hold everybody else to the standard of the law, but they weren't living it. And Christ exposed them through the way he was living, right? And plus the messages that he delivered, how he called them out. And we know that the Lord Jesus was more abrasive, right, verbally, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were supposed to be learned, right? They knew the Torah. They knew the Pentateuch and the laws and could quote them, right? They knew about the word of God. They knew about the tradition and this, that, and the other. They were well learned, but they weren't living, or rather they were picking and choosing what they wanted to live, right? What they wanted to live out. But they weren't living it according to God's standards. And also they were trying to implement these man-made laws that had nothing to do with the word of God and holding the people to it. Because at the end of the day, the Lord Jesus said that, you know, while they, you know, the law was allowed, we couldn't keep it anyway. The flesh couldn't keep it. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why Jesus Christ came to die for us. Right. And be, you know, our redeemer and redeem us from sin. Right. To be that propitiation that the scripture talks about. Right. That ransom for us. And show us that through him, we can live this life. We can be victorious. Okay, so again, I thank you all for listening. I pray that this message has been a blessing, and that you have taken something that you were able to receive something from this message. So I would like to thank you for your time. And I pray that you all be blessed, and that God would bless you and God would keep you. But ultimately, that each and every person listening, that they would surrender and fulfill God's purpose in the earth. So until then, y'all take care. God bless. And I will talk to you later.